Metta Sutta, Goodwill, Meditation. This discourse appears, connected discourses of the Buddha, Sanghita Nikaya, Bhujanga Sanghita. On one occasion, the Blessed One was staying among the Koliyans. Now there is a Koliyan town named Halidavasan. Then early in the morning, a large number of monks adjusted their underrobes and carrying their bowls and robes went into Halidavasana for alms. Then the thought occurred to them, it is still early to go for alms in Halidavasana. Why don't we go to the park of the wanderers of other sects? So the monks went to the park of the wanderers of the other sects. On arrival, they exchanged courteous greeting with the wanderers of the other sects. After an exchange of friendly greetings and courtesies, they sat to one side. As they were sitting there, the wanderers of the other sects said to them, "Friends, Gautama the contemplative teaches the Dhamma to his disciples in this way. Come monks, abandoning the five hindrances, the corruptions of awareness that weaken discernment, keep pervading the first direction with an awareness imbued with goodwill, that is loving kindness. Likewise the second, likewise the third, likewise the fourth, thus above, below, and all around everywhere, in its entirety. Keep pervading the all encompassing cosmos with an awareness imbued with goodwill. Abandoned, expansive, immeasurable, without hostility, without ill will. Keep pervading the first direction with awareness imbued with compassion. Keep pervading the first direction with the awareness imbued with sympathetic joy. Keep pervading the first direction with an awareness imbued with equanimity. Likewise the second, likewise the third, likewise the fourth. Thus above, below, and all around, everywhere. In its entirety. Keep pervading the all encompassing cosmos with an awareness imbued with equanimity, abundant, expansive, immeasurable, without hostility, without ill. Now friends, we too teach our disciples in this way. Come you friends, abandoning the five hindrances, the corruptions of awareness that we can discernment. Keep pervading the first direction with an awareness imbued with goodwill. Likewise the second, likewise the third, likewise the fourth, thus above, below, and all around, everywhere in its entirety. Keep pervading the all encompassing cosmos with an awareness imbued with goodwill. Abundant, expansive, immeasurable, without hostility, without ill. Keep pervading the first direction with awareness imbued with compassion. Keep pervading the first direction with awareness imbued with empathetic joy, that is appreciative joy. Keep pervading the first direction with an awareness imbued with equanimity. Likewise the second, likewise the third, likewise the fourth. Thus above, below, and all around, everywhere, in its entirety. Keep pervading the whole encompassing cosmos with an awareness imbued with equanimity. Abundant, expansive, immeasurable, without hostility, without ill will. So friends, what difference, what distinction, what distinguishing factor is there here between Gautama, the contemplative, and us when comparing Dhamma teaching with Dhamma teaching, instruction with instruction? Then the monks neither delighted in the words of the wanderers of the other sects, nor did they reject them. Without delighting or rejecting, they got up from their seats and left, thinking, we will learn the meaning of these words in the presence of the Blessed One. So having gone for alms in the Halidavasana, after the meal, returning from their alms round, the monks went to the Blessed One and, on arrival, having bowed down to him, sat to one side. As they were sitting, there they told the Buddha what happened. Monks, when wanderers of other sects speak in that way, they should be addressed in this way. But how, friends, is awareness released? Through goodwill developed. What is its destination? What is its excellence, its fruit, and its consummation. How is the awareness release? Through compassion developed. What is the destination? What is the excellence? Its fruit and its consummation. How is the awareness released through appreciative joy or empathetic joy developed? What is its destination? What is its excellence, its fruit, and its consummation? How is awareness released through equanimity developed? What is its destination? What is its excellence, its fruit, and its consummation? Here Buddha is asking about what happens if we develop loving kindness with seven factors of enlightenment, similarly compassion and so on. Being asked thus, in this way the wanderers of other sects will be unable to respond, and on top of that will fall into vexation. Why is that? Because it lies beyond their range. Monks don't see anyone in this cosmos with his devas, maras and brahmas, with his people, with their contemplatives and brahmans, their royalty and common folk, who would satisfy the mind with their answer to these questions. Aside from the Tathagata, a disciple of the Tathagata, O one who heard it from them, and how monks, is awareness released through goodwill developed? What is its destination? What is its excellence? Its food and its consummation. There is the case where a monk develops mindfulness as a factor of awakening, accompanied by goodwill, dependent on seclusion, dependent on dispassion, dependent on cessation, and resulting in letting go. He develops analysis of qualities as a factor of awakening, persistence as a factor of awakening, rapture as a factor of awakening, serenity as a factor of awakening, concentration as a factor of awakening, equanimity as a factor of awakening, accompanied by goodwill, dependent on seclusion, dependent on dispassion, dependent on cessation, resulting in letting go. If he wants, he remains percipient of loathsomeness in presence of what is not loathsome. And an example for this one is, this is in Pali, is apatikula patikula sanya, that the body is unrepulsive for ordinary people, they like it. Venerable Sariputta abides with the perception of it as ugly, loathsome, patikula sanya. If he wants, he remains percipient of unloathsomeness in the presence of what is loathsome. In Pali, it's patikula apatikula sanya. You see, dead body is of loathsomeness nature for ordinary people. For example, in people in Sri Lanka, if they see a dead body in the morning when they are about to go to work, they think this the whole day is bad. But for Venerable Sariputta, it is not loathsome, as it is a meditation object for liberation. We can contemplate about the dead body and liberate the mind. If he wants, he remains percipient of loathsomeness in the presence of what is not loathsome and what is. That is apatikulecha patikulecha patikula sanya. Female form is unrepulsive to one percipient of beauty. Discolored dead body is repulsive. Venerable Sariputta, one abides percipient of the repulsive. If he wants, he remains percipient of unloathsomeness in the presence of what is loathsome and what is not. Patikulecha apatikulecha apatikula sanya. The unwelcome, ill-spoken speech repulsive for the speaker. It is unrepulsive. So Venerable Sariputta verifies the speech and he understands this person is having these ill-spoken words because of the wrong view. So Venerable Sariputta gets the right view and he abides percipient of the unrepulsive. If he wants in the presence of what is loathsome and what is not, cutting himself off from both, he remains equanimous, alert and mindful. So here female form is unrepulsive to one percipient of beauty. Discolored dead body is repulsive. So Venerable Sariputta avoid both of them and abide, this is not mine. This is not I. This is not myself. So whatever way they want to be, you know, the repulsive become unrepulsive, unrepulsive they can think about as repulsive. Or he may enter and remain in the beautiful liberation. I tell you, monk, awareness release through goodwill has the beautiful as its excellence. In the case of one who has penetrated no high release. So this here we are talking about beautiful as its excellence means Subha Parama. So Metta Cheto Vimukti, this liberation due to loving kindness, the end point would be Subha, beauty. Sampati Mahabrahma said here one is not taking loathsomeness as a gain. And how is awareness released through compassion developed? What is its destination? What is its excellence, its fruit and its consummation? There is the case where a monk develops mindfulness as a factor for awakening, accompanied by compassion, dependent on seclusion, dependent on dispassion, dependent on cessation, resulting in letting go. He develops analysis of qualities as a factor of awakening, persistence as a factor of awakening, rapture as a factor of awakening, serenity as a factor of awakening, the concentration as a factor of awakening, equanimity as a factor of awakening, accompanied by compassion, depend on seclusion, depend on dispassion, depend on cessation, resulting in letting go. If he wants, he remains percipient of loathsomeness in the presence of what is not loathsome. If he wants, he remains percipient of the unloathsomeness in the presence of what is loathsome. If he wants, he remains percipient of the loathsomeness in the presence of what is not loathsome and what is. If he wants, he remains percipient of unloathsomeness in the presence of what is loathsome and what is not. If he wants, in the presence of what is loathsome and what is not, cutting himself off from both, he remains equanimous, alert and mindful. Or with the complete transcending and perception of form, with the disappearance of the perception of resistance and not heeding perception of diversity, infinite space, he enters and remains in the space of infinitude of space. I tell you, monks, awareness released through compassion has the sphere of the infinitude of space as its excellence. In the case of one who has penetrated to no higher release, here one is not taking suffering as a gain. There is no envy for those who have taken suffering as a gain. We normally have envy for those who have taken suffering as a gain. For example, you go for a job interview, the other person got the promotion, and then you are envy for that person. So here in this case, not envy for his suffering. You know, having got the promotion, he has to work more and so on. And how is awareness released through empathetic joy, that is appreciative joy, develop? What is its destination? What is its excellence, its fruit, and its consummation? There is the case where a monk develops mindfulness as a factor for awakening, accompanied by appreciative joy, dependent on seclusion, dependent on dispassion, dependent on cessation, resulting in letting go. He develops analysis of qualities as a factor for awakening, persistence as a factor of awakening, rapture as a factor for awakening, serenity as a factor for awakening, concentration as a factor for awakening, equanimity as a factor for awakening, accompanied by appreciative joy or empathetic joy, dependent on seclusion, dependent on dispassion, dependent on cessation, resulting in letting go. If he wants, he remains percipient of loathsomeness in the presence of what is not loathsome. If he wants, he remains percipient of unloathsomeness in the presence of what is loathsome. If he wants, he remains percipient of the loathsomeness in the presence of what is not loathsome and what is. If he wants, he remains percipient of unloathsomeness in the presence of what is loathsome and what is not. If he wants, in the presence of what is loathsome and what is not, cutting himself from both, he remains equanimous, alert and mindful. Or with the complete transcending of the sphere of the infinitude of space, infinite consciousness, he enters and remains in the sphere of the infinitude of consciousness. I tell you, monks, awareness released through appreciative joy has the sphere of infinitude of consciousness as its excellence. In the case of one who has penetrated to no higher release, there, in this particular case, there is this self-view. If you take space is infinite as mine. Here, one is not regarding that self-view as mine. So he would enter infinitude of consciousness. And how is awareness released to equanimity developed? What is its destination? What is its excellence, its fruit and its consummation? There is the case where a monk develops mindfulness as a factor for awakening, accompanied by equanimity, dependent on seclusion, dependent on dispassion, dependent on cessation, resulting in letting go. He develops analysis of qualities as a factor for awakening, persistence as a factor for awakening, rapture as a factor for awakening, serenity as a factor for awakening, concentration as a factor for awakening, equanimity as a factor for awakening, accompanied by equanimity, dependent on seclusion, dependent on dispassion, dependent on cessation, resulting in letting go. If he wants, he remains percipient of whole loathsomeness in the presence of what is not loathsome. If he wants, he remains percipient of the unloathsomeness in the presence of what is loathsome. If he wants, he remains percipient of the loathsomeness in the presence of what is not loathsome and what is. If he wants, he remains percipient of unloathsomeness in the presence of what is loathsome and what is not. If he wants, in the presence of what is loathsome and what is not, cutting himself off from both, he remains equanimous, alert and mindful. Or with the complete transcending of the sphere of the infinitude of consciousness, there is nothing. He enters and remains in the sphere of nothingness. I tell you, monks, awareness released through equanimity has the sphere of nothingness as its excellence. In the case of one who has penetrated to no higher release, here, in this case, Sampati Mahabrahma says, he is not taking those mind formations constructed for feeling as a gain. So this is what is mentioned in the discourse. So to understand this one, let us go to these diagrams. First, we pay our gratitude to Great Noble Council of Agnita Brahma Realm for giving us this Dhamma. So let us go to slide 2. Here you can see that the sloth and torpor is marked over here. So this sloth and torpor begins just after this ill will. We spin rounds, which we discussed in a 4-day course as well. So with the spinning of two loops, there is a gain, labha, was decided by delusion. So the wrong view arose here. So gain is the biggest asaddha, lack of faith. At this point, as we are sick, sloth and torpor, and we have wrong view, we had reached dosa, hatred. Now you need to refer to Samma Vacha diagram. You have seen that if we have this covetousness, abhijja, and the ill will, and the wrong view, and then if you know that we are sick, then we get the hate. Now we reach this restlessness, uddaccha. Restlessness is marked over here, 6.1. And then we are coming to 6.1 from 7.1, the lack of faith. And that is actually coming from the Tayodhamma Sutta. So what we are actually talking about here, now, if you write gain in place of this satayo here, so because of this gain, we got the lack of faith. The gain is this, is the biggest asaddha. We selected the wrong view. So that by taking this wrong view, then we go into this gain scenario. So then you can see from the gain, we come to this lack of faith. When there is gain, there is the fraud, satya. So then you come to lack of faith. And that particular one generate that you go from hate to the restlessness. That is what is written over here. This Dhamma was taught to me by the Mandaladipati Buddhapiya in Akhanita Brahma Realm. You can see it's like a lever here. The aging, the misapprehension, and then it's going to consciousness. And let us think of a lever mounted at the point of misapprehension. Now, when we are moving this stick, you know that this particular stick, from the gain you are going to the lack of faith, means that green line. So you are coming from hate to the restlessness. Stick is now change. Now this one is, one would be thinking, this one is a sort of simple thing, but this is really big thing. You know, whatever immorality that we do have, look at the 6.2 over here. So it is actually adding, you know, this stick moving towards the volition, that green line means whatever immorality we have, and then added, and then it become the view, the perception of self, the wrong view. Now, think about the line from this attabhava pativalabha to attavada upadana, which we studied in the previous one. You know, we have this self theory clinging, and from the self theory clinging, we are going to that, you know, like a water pouring over here, 1.1 raga, and then we are going to birth the accession of individuality. That is this attabhava pativalabha. So let us, at this particular time, you can use this Sevitabha Asevitabha Sutta. That should and should not be practiced. In that particular discourse, Buddha is saying, if you are doing something, then if your skill state of the mind is decreasing and unskilled state of the mind is increasing, then we should not be doing that one. Whenever we do something, if the skill state of the mind is increasing and the unskilled state of the mind is declining, then we should be doing that one. So you can see that killing is a bad thing. So they lead to unskilled states. So we should not be doing those things like stealing and so on. And having said this sort of thing, and Buddha is saying, the rebirth not ended. You know, never return. You know, he is not coming back to this world. But he has got births. It can be up to 7 births. Now, if Buddha is saying, we should not be taking that sort of thing as well, if the rebirth not ended. Because, you know, what if whatever thing we do, if the skill states are increasing, then we should be doing that. Now, think about this scenario we just discussed. Should we think about gain, whatever kind it is, whether it's a form, feeling, perception, volitional formation or consciousness at all, if you are getting restlessness? The result would be restlessness, uddaccha. So here we discuss this, you know, like stick, you know, moving scenario. Let us go to slide number 3. We now look at the connection of conceit and restlessness, uddaccha. So you can see that if we have a taint of sensual desire, then we get the taint of ignorance. If you have a taint of existence, then we get the taint of ignorance. If there is taint of ignorance, then there is conceit. And we have taken things as permanent. For example, concentration as permanent. We cling to concentration because of taint of ignorance. Now we can see there is this restlessness. Now previous slide we look at coming from this lack of faith to restlessness. Now here you can see from abhijja, covetousness, then we get the delight. And then from the delight, that one is reflected on this line coveting to birth. Then when this covetousness is reflected on that line, then we come to birth and feeling line. And the whole thing is reflected from covetousness through this birth and feeling line. Then you are getting the restlessness. So now, you know, if you consider this restlessness, because of the gratifying faculty, also there is this restlessness. In other words, because of the concentration. It is like that in that tea factory example. Here we are inputting something on the mental volition, you can see from the left side the restlessness is there, and then you are getting output, a product, that concentration, and for that product we get conceit. You see this Ajita Manamaka, he asks from Buddha a question, and then Buddha preach him Dhamma. After that preaching, he no longer has thirst for it. He thinks Nibbana is there. And no point of this Dhamma, Maccariya, the stinginess regarding the doctrine. In other words, that he understands this Dhamma teaching is for getting the concentration. And he's sort of wise person, he's thinking the Nibbana is there. Same as we think about a small garden on our way to a big garden. So the big garden, we are talking about Nibbana. So you want to go to the big garden, but along the way, you are a bit tired that you think, okay, let me rest in this small garden and then look at flowers and so on are there. What we are trying to say here is that you are coming here to go into Nibbana, but when we do these meditations, then you get into the concentration. And then some feel like hold into that concentration. Now we have lack of faith, asatta, because conceit prevent us from going from faith, shraddha, to wisdom. All these things are due to immorality, 6.2. Remember, if you have 6.2 immorality, then you have conceit. If you have conceit, then we are making this jack from here, perception of self to perception of permanency. Therefore, we can't go from wisdom to faith. Here you can see we are holding to a concentration. So now you can see there is a connection between this conceit and the restlessness. So let us go into this slide number 4. Now here we are looking at the connection from restlessness to worry, kukkuccha. Now you can see this covetousness, abhijja, and then we get the delight, and then it is reflected, birth and feeling line, and then you get into the restlessness. And from the restlessness, you are going to the sadness. Restlessness means we are on a slope that is slippery. We slip downwards to sadness. We all are, in a sort of in a slippery line. So the neither perception nor non-perception person is on the top. The human beings who has got so much conceit is there in the bottom. So we all are in this slope. Now, at that particular point, I was examining how do we not have this, the restlessness. For me to not to have restlessness, then going backward from this arrow, I can see I should not have delight. So then going backward again, I can see I should not have covetousness. That is what is written over here. We should not have covetousness in order not to have delight. At that particular time, a massive concentration arises. If one has faith for the purpose of not having covetousness, knowing that we would slip downwards otherwise, what we end up with sadness, then there is Nibbana for him. Now think about the previous slide. The immorality, the gain, lack of faith. Immorality, and we got that one as a gain, and then we go into lack of faith that the lever is working in that particular time. So the similar pattern is here. Restlessness. And then we get the derogation here. And then we get the worry by taking those things as mine. So at this particular point, what is this derogation? Immorality we are talking about. That means we are taking concentration as mine. So if we take concentration as mine, then that is becoming immoral part over here. Then the conceit and the mental volition, the perception of self to perception of permanency. Then we are done. So this worry is like someone is saying that I stayed struggling on a slippery slope while Nibbana exists elsewhere. In other words, then when you are doing this noble research, the research to attain Nibbana, what we need to be done and so on. And then someone is saying, so that means we are actually searching. People ask, where were you? And then he's saying, so I was actually in this particular place, in a slippery place. In other words, we are holding to a concentration and not going to Nibbana. You can see there is this union with what is displeasing here. In other words, that we are leaving out the Nibbana, we are in a concentration, holding to a concentration, and then that leads to worry over here. Now let us go into next slide, slide number 5. Here we introduce sensual desire and see the trouble that we have from this form. Now, having seen the form, we will spin 2 spins. So sensual desire come to arise and we will have 2 further spins. Now we come back. And then we have this yellow colored area, area 1 and area 2. After this, area 3 and area 4. What it means over here is that, let us say you are working on a tea factory, and then the tea that you are making in your tea factory is not selling. So then management will have a meeting, and then they question, if it is the case, why do we make tea? And then they are actually questioning from volition. Why do we do this? So volition is saying, the problem is not with me. The problem is that the tea leaves you are getting, taking to the factory is not good. So they are questioning the physical nutriment. So it's a blame game. Because of the physical nutriment, that we do have this gap, area 1 and area 2. We have discussed this one in 4-day course as well. Remember, I was telling that I have eaten some sort of a curry, let's say pumpkin curry, when I was 10 or 12 years old. And I'm saying, no one has given me such a curry after that one. So this area 2 is that our memories and intentions. When I was eating small, it was like this. Now when I am eating pumpkin today, it's like this area 1. Coveting and greed, feeling, birth area. So these two areas do not match. So there is a gap. That's why the management had a meeting over there. At this particular point, we questioned the form. Because of the form hasn't got a value that I am looking for, then we have this issue. So at that particular point, the sensual desire is coming up. Let us fix this. That's what we are trying to say. Like when you are eating something, maybe rice and curry, you feel sometimes it would be really good to have a little bit of pickle. So that is your fixing. The gap is there. You are trying to fix it. Now the delusion sees the change of mind. It would question, is this the best fit? And ill will arises. Best fit we are talking about here. You can see the consciousness is constructed by fitting things here, the form, the feeling, perception, volition, and then volitional formations construct those things. So it's like a bridge. So is this the best fit? For missing satisfaction due to reduced feeling, like that I was eating small and I'm eating now, my taste buds are gone, so there is a missing satisfaction. So the mind would compensate, thinking it would be good if form was like this and that. I mean, like if there was a little bit of pickle as he desires. Here we introduce this sensual desire. There are 2 rounds and then we get the sensual desire, thinking it can fix, and you can see there is a blame game. So this is the first 2 rounds. Let us look at the other rounds. For that one, I'll be going to the last slide. So we can go into slide number 12. So you can see here we are talking about how sloth and torpor come to their eyes. First, form is contacted by the eye. So that is not a round. Also, it's number one, it is not the round. So when you see something on a wall or something, there's a picture. That picture you are lifting up from your perception first. So this is the first round. We lift up the perception by underlying tendency to ignorance, avidya anusaya. At that particular time, we have covetousness, abhijja. And in the second round, it's number three, second round, we lift up the perception by tendency to conceit, mana anusaya. It's like, you know, that one I was eating when I was small is good, so I'm taking my best from my conceit. Now, there is the difference, the area one and area two. So now we have sadness. And we have sensual desire. We think we can actually fix it. We don't have ill will because we think it is we can fix it. So now the third round is this number four here. We lift up the perception by underlying tendency to aversion because there was a gap. We had this sadness. So there is this patiganusaya, aversion. The round due to taint of ignorance. And we think it is possible to fix this. And the fourth round is we lift up the perception by underlying tendency to aversion. But this round is due to conceit. So now four rounds has gone. Although you think that it would be really good to have a pickle, but if you did not have the pickle, then you can see that you are just spinning without it. So the ill will arises. Now, here you can have reference to this Sammavacha diagram. Remember, when we have covetousness, and then we know that we are subject to aging, then ill will arises. So, we keep on spinning. So, now we are talking about fifth round. The fifth round is as in the third round. So, that is what is called as in four above. The perception, we lift up the perception by underlying tendency to aversion. And this round, due to taint of ignorance, and at this particular point, the sadness is inside the mind. You see, it is lagging behind. The sadness arose first, but it did not enter the mind. And now it's in the stream. So now this is the sixth round. Number seven is sixth round. So it's like the as in five here. Lift up the perception by underlying tendency to aversion. The round is due to conceit. And the sad, but mind is with sadness. Now, at this particular point, sloth and torpor, tinamidya arises. Because it was decided that it cannot be taken as agreeable, sata, by taint of ignorance. So now, you still keep on spinning. So now you can see the seventh round here, given by number eight. It's like this number four in the slide. But mind is with sadness and ill will. You see, the ill will arose earlier, now it has entered the stream. And this is the eighth round, number nine here is the eighth round. We are lifting up the perception by underlying tendency to aversion, but the round is due to conceit. And mind is with sadness and ill will. So you can see how the sloth and torpor come to arise over here. And you can spin further. So, after the eighth round, this sloth and torpor is inside the mind. And if you spin further, then, you know, 11th and 12th round, that we have the restlessness. And in the 13th and 14th round, we have the doubt. So, now we learn how this sloth and torpor arising. So, we were in the slide number 5, so let us go back to slide number 5. And in this case also, notice that part played by conceit, mana here. It is preventing us going to faith, shraddha. Now this thing is very important, you can see. if we establish consciousness here, the sensual desire, so we actually establish consciousness thinking that we can fix it. So by doing that one, we regard that particular fixing as mine in that case. So then there is this conceit, and then it is making this jack connection to the permanency, so we can't go to faith. So let us go into slide number 6. Now you can see in this diagram we have mark 1, physical nutriment, 2, that connection, the 3, and birth to aging. And then you can see measure of state of equanimity is written over here. So if one has ill will, then he should know that he slips downward. So we should not have the covetousness if we do not want ill will. So you can see the ill will is spinning further 2 rounds after the sensual desire. And then you examine further, then you can see the sensual desire after the physical nutriment spinning 2 rounds. Now you can see this number 2 and number 3 over here because of 1 physical nutriment. You see number 3 is saying birth to aging. If you are subject to aging, then you can see we will get sickness and death. If you have death, then is there any permanency? If there is death, there is no permanency. Then you can see whatever thing we are holding from perception of self to the perception of permanency as permanent will fall, break. So then what we are holding at number 2? We are holding number 1, physical nutriment. So having understood that we can't actually hold into that one, you can go to measure a state of equanimity and then you go beyond. So in my meditation, having seen this one, I went to desireless abiding, appanita cheto vimukti at once. For this to happen, one should know, one should not have covetousness, abhijja. Should know that it is impermanent. Should know birth, aging, sickness, death is for every living being. As we explained little while ago, if you understand number 3, aging, then there is sickness and death. If there is death, there is no permanency. So then what are we holding at number 2 as this, like a stick? We are holding to physical nutriment. Having seen, we throw it out. And every form is of that nature. We hold to that one, then we get the suffering. So let us go into slide number 7. Here, this Metta Sutta meditation is written. Remember, we discuss in the Sutta that the repulsive and unrepulsive thing, how Venerable Sariputta is observing. So, let us say you take repulsive, particular, physical nutriment, and unrepulsive as feeling. So, we have done loathsomeness in food, meditation, for example. So, you are saying this physical nutriment, food is loathsome. Repulsive. So if one remembers liberation and there is Nibbana, then it would occur to him space is infinite. Akasanyayata. I mentioned I went to this liberation state in slide number 6. So it's like that you see when someone is singing a part of a song, then you remember the rest of the song as well. Likewise, once you have gone into this liberation, then you remember that liberation in such a way that I went to this one, and then there is tendency, that ability for you to go to liberation. So if one remember liberation and there is Nibbana, then that person can go to space is infinite. In other words, what we are saying here, not taking as a gain the pleasure that arose because of the form. So you can see the pleasure is entering the misapprehension. 2B diagram, remember? And then we take it as self. So then this the going bad day through fear, feeling, and then you are pointing at the form. Now you are not going to do that one, no pointing at the form as pleasurable thing. So then you can reach the space is infinite. And then the next one is the form is repulsive. Unrepulsive feeling because of the space is infinite. I'm still tolerating the feeling that arises because of the space is infinite. If one regards these two are not mine, and one remembers liberation, and there is Nibbana, then it would occur to him, consciousness is infinite. Vijnanam Jayatam. So, you see here, there is the self-view. If one regards space is infinite as mine, not regarding that self-view as mine will lead to consciousness is infinite. So this can be shown, you know, this down below the misapprehension, there is this going bad way through fear. From the going bad way through fear, then there is this line to the feeling, and then there is this line going feeling to mental volition. So here, what we are saying here, we are cutting down both those two lines. That is, bad way through fear to feeling, feeling to mental volition. Next, we take the feeling as repulsive. Unrepulsive, mind formations made for feeling. If one remembers liberation and there is Nibbana, then it would occur to him, sphere of nothingness. Akinchanmayatam. You see, at this particular moment, we are cutting down the lines from feeling to mental volition to the body tie of insistence that this is truth. And the next one is repulsive feeling, I loathes feeling, and repulsive, the perception of sphere of nothingness. If one regards these two are not mine, then three results can be expected. First one, void liberation, sunyata cheto vimukti. If you take the perception is not mine, you reach that one. The desireless abiding, apanita cheto vimukti. You see the perceptions as suffering. And then third one, neither perception nor non-perception, nevasanya nasanyayatana. There, you are not taking volitional formations as mine. So, let us go into slide number 8. This is something available in Patisambhidha Magga, the path of discrimination. And this English page 321. It says in Pali, Sabbe Satta Abhirno Hunti, that is free from enmity. Kemi no hunti, safe. Sukhi no hunti, blissful. Sating upattapeti, that is establishing mindfulness there. Satisambhujjanga paribhavita hoti mitta cheto vimukti, liberation of mind by loving kindness. When he establishes mindfulness thus, let all beings be free from enmity, safe and blissful. Then the liberation of mind of loving kindness is fortified by the enlightenment factor of mindfulness. You see, here we are adding the enlightenment factor of mindfulness to loving kindness to make it fortified and supported by that. When he investigates with understanding thus, let all beings be free from enmity, safe and blissful, then the liberation of mind by loving kindness is fortified by the enlightenment factor of investigation of ideas, Dhamma Vichaya. When he exerts mind, thus let all beings be free from enmity, safe and blissful, then the liberation of mind by loving kindness is fortified by the enlightenment factor of effort. When he tranquilizes anguish, the parilaha is the Pali word, thus let all beings be free from enmity, safe and blissful, then the liberation of mind by loving kindness is fortified by the enlightenment factor of rapture. When he tranquilizes depravity, duttulla, this is the moral corruption, that if we have envy, stinginess, derogation, disparaging, then that's a moral corruption. So thus let all beings be free from enmity, safe and blissful. Then the liberation of mind by loving kindness is fortified by the enlightenment factor of tranquility. When he concentrates cognizance, thus let all beings be free from enmity, safe and blissful. Then the liberation of mind by loving kindness is fortified by the enlightenment factor of concentration. When he reflects on defilements with knowledge, in Pali, jnanena kleshe patisankati. Thus let all beings be free from enmity, safe and blissful. Then the liberation of mind by loving kindness is fortified by the enlightenment factor of equanimity. In other words, we are supporting the loving kindness with these seven factors of enlightenment here. So one would understand when they are supported, liberation of mind due to loving kindness will last. For example, let us say you are meditating and spreading loving kindness, and then your back is aching. Then you feel like stopping it and going away. But let us say you have rapture. So if there is rapture, then you have your attention to the rapture, not to the place that it is hurting your body. So therefore you can keep on spreading the loving kindness. Don't need to get out of your chair. So then with this understanding, let us go into number 9. So this Metta Sutta Bhavana that you are going to do is actually mentioned over here. That is to maintain loving kindness, metta, with seven factors of enlightenment. And you know this abhijja, covetousness, generates sensual desire. And then we get the ill will. Having seen this one, we question the form. Remember, when you don't have the happiness as before when you are eating, then you look at, you know, then you are aware, so I got ill will now. Why I got ill will? Because of sensual desire. So that blame game is continuing, area 1 and area 2, then pointing at the finger, at the mental volition. Mental volition says, it is not my problem, it is because of the physical nutriment. So you can see the mindfulness regarding the body will arise. The enlightenment factor of investigation of ideas question the result arising from this form. What is the result? Result is the delusion. Because we know that sloth and torpor lead to delusion from the Tayodhamma Sutta. Sloth and torpor go into delusion. We use the enlightenment factor of effort to prevent us from getting sick, kosajja, indolence. We use enlightenment factor of rapture to prevent us from burning, parilaha, that created because of the form. Little while ago we mentioned that if you are sitting down on a chair and it's back aching, you feel like going out. But the rapture is there, then you are not burning. We use enlightenment factor of tranquility to get rid of envy, derogation, stinginess and disparaging, known as depravity. The depravity is these four things here. Arose because of the form. You get this envy because of the form. The concentration enlightenment factor concentrate cognizance. Not to have above four. Envy, derogation, stinginess and disparaging. We use the enlightenment factor of equanimity to get rid of fraud. Now, at this particular point, you can think about the carpenter's example we discussed. We question the perception of beauty here. Sampati Mahaprabhu gave a good example. Rotten fish tank. Got rid of rotten fish and now say beauty. Let us say in your house, there is a fish tank. Earlier, it was, you know, you have a light and so on. Fish are swimming and you are happy. And then you find that this one is smelly. So one day, you clean up the whole rotten fish tank, get rid of those fish and so on. And to your friend, you say that today it is really good, my friend. I got rid of this rotten fish. And it is good, beauty. And then your friend is asking, what exactly you got rid of? Rotten fish. Without that word, you can't actually say that you are happy. That you can't express your beauty. Likewise, let's say in your house there is dust you did not know and you are happy in your house, and one day somebody is actually pointing out what you have is over here, dust. So then you clean up this dust, and having cleaned up those things, you are saying, I is really good now. And then your friend is asking, what did you actually got rid of? It's the dust. Without that word, you can't express this one. So having got rid of that one, we are saying beauty. So this carpenter's example, you can remember that we were talking about going to this equanimity level. If you have equanimity, then as soon as you see something, you don't take it as mine. It's either your spinning of these wheels have stopped or it is close to stop. Remember that Potali Sutta, the dog, straight away when they put this fleshless bone, it was running. Likewise, you see someone, you straight away, oh, this person is beautiful, because we are spinning and doing that. So equanimity is good thing over here. So let us go into slide number 10. And over here, all the other meditations are mentioned. The compassion meditation, Karuna Bhavana. Here we consider this physical nutriment as repulsive and unrepulsive feeling that arose after cleaning the rotten fish tank. Now use Bodhyanga, seven factors of enlightenment, to get rid of the result arose because of feeling. We question perception of pleasure, sukha sanya here. You get rid of envy and reach spaces infinite, akasanyayata. Remember, because of the envy we get derogation, makka. So here, earlier we take this perception of pleasure as a gain. Only if we take it as a self, then we get this problem. So don't take the pleasure due to form. Then appreciative joy, mudita bhavana. We have derogation, worry and doubt, part of the doubt, and disparaging. We question feeling. Feeling of space is infinite. And the result of taking it as mine, depravity. You get rid of makka, derogation, and reach consciousness is infinite, vijnanam chayatana. In other words, you understand feeling associated with space is infinite, is impermanent. And then the equanimity meditation, upekkha bhavana, we question fraud, satya, that is acquisition of perception and original formations. These are mind formations, chitta sanskaram, generated for feeling. In other words, we question perception of self, atta sanya. You get rid of fraud and reach sphere of nothingness, akinchan mayatana. Here you can see, normally when someone is giving you a present, they wrap it up. Let us say, if they are sending you a wristwatch or something, they put that on in a velvet type cloth and then put a box and then wrap the box. And then that box is now inside another box. Around it, you have this piece of papers, bubble wraps and so on. So when they give you a box wrap like that one, you always think, there must be something really good. So you do not know whether it is actually what is they have wrapped is excrement. But its wrapping is around there and you always think that is a good one is there. So in other words, here we are not taking these perceptions, you know, those bubble wraps and those things around it. And those things are not mine. You are not saying that it's a gain. So let's go to number 11. Slide number 11. Here you can see there is a man facing the sheet. The perception is the head. His left shoulder is the feeling. The right shoulder is the mental volition. Belly is the body tie of misapprehension. And the left leg is conceit, the right leg is the delusion or the taint of ignorance here. So his left arm, you can see, going to the coveting and greed. Left hand going to the physical neutron. His right hand, you can see it is sort of folded and the elbow is touching the belly and then pointing the right hand. And you can see it is making a bridge from perception of self to perception of permanency. So the liberation by resolving upon what is beautiful, the Subha Vimukti, what is Buddha mentioned in the Sutta as the first one, is this cutting left hand, that connection between physical nutriment, outing and greed. And the space is infinite, means cut the left arm. Remove the equation, perception of pleasure, sukha sanya. And we get rid of envy and reach this space is infinite level. And then consciousness is infinite, you cut the right hand, the equation, feeling of space is infinite. And the result of taking it as mind, depravity. If you take it as mind, then you get the derogation. If you take anything apart from the Nibbana, then you can see that's a derogation. Got rid of derogation to reach this consciousness is infinite level. And then the spear of nothingness, akinchanayatana, cut the right arm. The equation, perception of self, attasanya. Get rid of fraud to reach this. Sunakkatta Sutta, Buddha is saying, just as a thick rock broken in two cannot be put back together again. Likewise here, you are saying you have to be separated from the form and the associate feelings with that one or whatever feeling. And now you are away from that one, you are in the sphere of nothingness. So, it's like I can give you an example to sort of understand this one. You know, the person who is actually spreading loving kindness, he is spreading loving kindness and he is not envy for whatever happiness the other people have got, that one. And then he has the compassion for them, not envy. Now, an example would be that, let us say, you go to a temple. And then you can see, you are the first to arrive at the temple, you can see it is very dirty because of the rain. And then the path to the temple is got muddy. And you go to kitchen and then kitchen was dirty because there was some sort of function day before and then people have no clean up. So you go and clean this one up. And then the other people who are coming to the temple saying, the temple is really good, clean. So now they are in happiness. They are with that happiness because you did this one. And you are not envy that they are happy because of the what you did. So that is like compassion. And then for appreciative joy, mudita, let us say the next day also this happened and you have cleaned up. And people are asking, somebody is cleaning up this one. And this one is nice. Who is actually this good person doing that one? You are there, but you don't claim that I am the one doing this one. That is like appreciative joy. And the equanimity, upekkha, is that you understand, although I clean it up today, having been done that one before as well, but again, tomorrow, this dirty water is coming and the kitchen will be dirty again. So that is equanimity. So now we have discussed these slides. How do we do the meditation? The meditation over here is simple. For that one, you are actually using this slide number 7. And actually, you are using a part of slide number 7. Is it the part of this first line you are using for the meditation? Physical nutriment is repulsive. So unrepulsive is the feeling. Here we are talking about spreading loving kindness with 7 factors of enlightenment. Remember mindfulness regarding the body, kaya anupassana, what it says. Such is form, such is the arising phenomena of form, such is the passing away phenomena of form. So use painful way with slow realization. It has loathsomeness in food. The repulsive part is there. Effort and cease suffering. Concentration due to desire, and the samadhi come to your eyes. It has 4 enlightenment factors. First one is the mindfulness. Such is form, such is arising of form, such is passing away. The investigation, analysis quality, from existence, the birth come to be. And then the third one, effort. When one sees suffering, want to get out of suffering and don't want sensual thoughts. Jhana is there, so rapture is there. So you can see there are four factors, mindfulness, investigation, effort and rapture. Then we use this slide in number 7. First, physical nutriment. 1, 2, mental volition to consciousness. The 3, birth to aging. Now you start with aging. Number 3, if you are subject to aging, then you are subject to sickness and death. Then you ponder upon, if there is death, would there be any permanency? There's no permanency. Then we come to number 2. So what are you holding? If the permanency is not there, this particular stick, number 2, is falling. So then what I am actually holding as this perception of self? We hold the physical nutriment. Then you understand this one. We cannot. You know, in the previous birth, you had a body, you could not live with it. Then this particular body is also subject to aging, then sickness and death. So then you are coming back to physical nutriment. Then you go into the measureless state of equanimity. So in other words, what you have added to the loving kindness is the impermanency. So by doing that one, you reach liberation of mind by loving kindness. And having done that one, you have this liberation by resolving upon what is beautiful. Subha vimutti, liberation by resolving upon what is beautiful. So to explain the difference between this, the Subha Vimukti and the liberation of mind by loving kindness. Let us say you are on a mountain slope, and in that slope there is this cow dung and the excrements and so on, and you are inside it. And then somehow you get out of that one, and then you are climbing the mountain. So far away from the cow dung, then you don't get the smell and so on. So you have some sort of liberation. And still you might fall because the mountain slope. And then you go into the top part of the mountain, the flat area. And now you are not going to fall. That is liberation by resolving upon what is beautiful. Subha Vimukti. So this is a non-meditation. And to that meditation, that is this painful way with slow realization, you add this 1, 2, 3 from the slide number 7. So if you do it correctly, then you will feel your left hand side of your face is pleasurable. And it occurs exactly when this particular point, that the tranquility point in slide number 8. So this envy and so on, they are gone. And equanimity is there. The loving kindness is fortified. And at that particular time you feel it. Feel the pressure from the left side. So that's the meditation.